One day, while taking a look at some vistas in Dad's stereopticon, it hit me that I was just this little girl, born in Texas, whose father was a sign painter, who had only just so many years to live. It sent a chill down my spine, and I thought, where would I be this very moment if Kid had never met me or killed anybody? This very moment, if my mom had never met my dad, if she'd have never died, and what's the man I'll marry going to look like? What's he doing right this minute? Is he thinking about me now by some coincidence, even though he doesn't know me? Does it show on his face?
Garbage bin behind Burger King. It's the Unnamed Movie Podcast.
Do we get to have pictures of Justin Timberlake up at this point? Do we just beam them into our listeners right now? Because the podcast has just started right there. That's staying in, Damien. I hope you know that.
Yes. And every week I'll come up with better and better places that we're recording live from. With your host that spits only truth, Andrew Robbins. Drop a bomb on it, son.
I don't know if that'll make the final cut, but yeah, let's keep going. Right. Let's keep going with that.
Yes, that is
Andrew. Hi and welcome, guys. How is things going over there?
It keeps threatening to rain, but there's no rain. So Jamaica is beautiful as usual. Country.
No, it's not beautiful. It's fucking hot. It's ridiculously hot. Oh my goodness.
This is the greatest country in the world.
Yes. If it got down to 90, I'd be so happy.
The weather fluctuates like 2 degrees.
Yes. From 100 to 102 degrees.
From nice to a little hotter than nice.
You know what I'm starting to enjoy, guys? I'm starting to enjoy thinking to myself, it's roughly like a few days short, around 4 weeks to TIFF and 4 weeks to my official vacation from work. But under my breath, every time I'm saying 4 weeks to vacation, guys, and under my breath, I'm like 3 weeks till I'm home.
Oh, that's funny.
Jerks. Sitting here with
you guys should have a calendar. That counts down. A big calendar in the middle of your workstation that counts down. Right. Middle of the workroom.
And they'll be like, no, you're a couple of days off, Andrew. Don't worry about that, guys. Don't worry about that.
What is this counting down to? You don't worry about it. Someone's birthday. Don't worry. Right.
Anyways, guys, this is the Unnamed Movie Podcast. It's the podcast where, like, we're legitimate and, like, talk about official things.
All right, as you said that, recently... someone said to me that they listen to the podcast and that all I do is shout and swear and they don't understand why anyone would listen to it. And I had to explain to that person that we tried being legitimate once and it was boring. No one wants to hear any of that. If you want a legitimate podcast about movies, there's other places you can go. What we're doing is having a conversation between three idiots. And that is why I show the screen all the time. Because it's the only way to get through to lunatics.
I'm an idiot?
I'm also an idiot. Why else would I be on this podcast? If I had any sense at all, you know what I'd do? Not do this. But I keep showing up. Clearly, I'm
you
an
keep
idiot.
Showing up. Like an addict to the crack pipe. I mean, I'm sorry, you just keep coming.
And is there something you need to tell us? Is this addict that crap fatigue that what is happening here? Is this why we're gonna have
some withdrawal
is this
issues
why we're
like
at
in
a
few weeks?
Behind Burger King? Is this crack related, Andrew? What is going on?
I don't know about you, but I got all my crack ready to go right here.
Right. This week, I decided that we should watch a movie that I am forgetting the name of, which is which is off. Andrew, what is the name of this movie?
The Deep Blue Sea.
Right.
Beware of passion, Hester. It always leads to something ugly.
And who else do you call darling? Anger fades and is replaced by regret.
I was the one who wanted to wait for the divorce. You didn't.
I'm not blaming you!
Right. This week I decided to watch
the one not with Thomas Jane. Let's remind ourselves, the one not with Thomas Jane.
The Thomas Jane one, I don't know why Thomas Jane is the first name you call.
Yeah, because Sam Jackson is the first
name
you
call. Sam Jackson is the first name you call. The second name you call is LL Cool J because he made the worst song of all time to go along with this movie.
What was it, like Deepest, My Heart Bluest, is like or a something like that?
Yeah. Yep. Terrific lyrics. Thank you, LL. Turning rapid.
Actually, I was just thinking about the song that he did for the football one, Any Given Sunday. I shut him down. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, so terrific. Bad. He was always so good. I can't see why people liked him. Anywho, I was looking on the internet, as I do, and I was looking at list of movies that I probably hadn't seen. Sure enough, I had seen most of the movies on those lists. One of the movies I hadn't seen was this movie, Deep Blue Sea, with one of our favorites, at least one of my favorite actresses, Rachel Weisz, or Wise, or however you pronounce it. No one cares. This movie is about a married woman who finds a young lover, and it leads to destruction. I don't know if you've ever seen a movie like this, or every movie like this. This movie is a poor man's version of Anna Karenina. And last year, a great director showed us how to make that movie special. This movie, however, has nothing special about it. It has actors that we like, and Rachel puts on a wonderful performance. But at the end of the day, I've seen this movie hundreds, probably thousands of times at this point. She leaves her husband for this young guy, and then she drifts into lunacy. Her husband, for some inexplicable reason, is still counting on her to come to her senses. She doesn't. She drifts further into madness, and the young man realizes that she's a crazy person and leaves. We have seen this many, many, many times. I don't know why people, like, I saw a couple of reviews that were praising this movie, and at the end of the movie I was kind of wondering why. But I guess if you like this specific movie a lot, you'll enjoy the movie. But there's nothing that I watched was special about the movie. They tried to play around with the chronology a little, like, they showed you something at the start of the movie, and then they kind of jumped around a bit. But the movie didn't grab me. It wasn't boring. Like, the movie is okay. It looks good, and the performances are good. But I didn't find anything to love about this movie, and I don't know. I don't know what else to say about this movie, Douglas. Can you,
Damien? Yeah. You are wrong.
Okay,
100%.
Fine.
This movie is not okay to fear. This movie is horrible. It's bad. Okay. No, what I'm going to do is I'm going to compare. I'm going to do a metaphor.
All right.
Here. Okay. So what happened is, as you said, right? This movie really has a very simple story,
yes,
which is to say that Rachel Weisz is already married to a, a well set up man.
Yes, he's a judge.
He is not only a judge, but a lord. Some sort of status.
This is a period.
Right. Yes, movie. Sir.
Actually, he is a judge. They do say that.
No. Yes.
Yeah. No. I agree.
I said he is also a lord because they always call him sir. Right. Sir something.
Right.
I can't remember his name. Was it William? Whatever.
He's rich.
Right. Yes, it is William. Sir William.
And
right?
Well respected.
Exactly. And she shacks up with a poor and not so intelligent man. Right? And decides...
Loki. Right. She shacks up with Loki.
Loki, yes. And she decides to get with Tom Hiddleston and leave Sir William.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as you said... Rightfully so, that doesn't end well. Right?
I've never seen that before.
Those three things, if put together in the right sequence,
see Anna Karenina,
could actually make a good movie. You know, it just needs to be a little bit more than 1, 2, 3. And things need to happen outside of those things. You know, you need to feel close to, you know, at least her or maybe another character. You know, maybe you get close to Sir William and you feel, oh, that bitch, why did she leave him? Or, you know, whatever it is. Now, what this story is like and how this movie was told, not the story, but how this movie's story was actually told, it was kind of like the story was a glass tabletop, right? And the writers, well, maybe not the writers, because the director has it in, you know, the say at the end. The director was carrying tabletop from, you know, one place to another, and he tripped, he slipped, and it broke into very many pieces and shards. And he tried to put them together, but they just didn't. He didn't fit them right, and that's really what this movie, how this movie is told. I never quite felt like I fully understood what was going on at any time. Let's not even get towards whether I was with any characters invested. Or engaged or invested. Let's not talk about that. Just as a simple matter of the chronology of this film, right? And yes, people will argue that look at movies like Quentin Tarantino films, which are anachronistic. Almost all of them are anachronistic, but those work extremely well. Look at Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene. Right. Also anachronistic. But this one is anachronistic without reason and to its detriment. And after a while, it's so bad that after a while it becomes chronologically correct. And you kind of don't believe that it is. You're kind of watching it and wondering, okay, so is this a month later or is this a week earlier? Because for at least the first, I would say, hour, right? It kind of just goes all over the place. And she's with Sir Henry. And then she's with Tom Hiddleston. And then she's with Henry and she's alone and she's not alone, and it's all over the place. You never quite get your bearings.
There was a point where they had an argument in the bar. I agree with you. There was a point where they were having some argument in the bar, and then it cuts to her being alone in her place, and then you see them at a gallery, and then it cuts back to them being together in the place, and you go, when did all like you guys are acting like this happened like in a straight line?
Yeah,
but that is impossible.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm not sure what is happening
exactly. And what I think they're trying to do, but they fail completely, is because, and this is not a spoiler, in the first scene of the movie, Rachel Weisz tries to kill herself. I think what they're trying to do, perhaps, and this is just a guess on my part, is to kind of maybe show the thoughts that are going through her mind as she does this deed, and to show why she's so sad for whatever reason, whether it is one man or the other has wronged her, or maybe she has wronged them, or whatever it is. I think that might be where they're coming from, but it just doesn't work. And what it does is it ensures that not only do I not like the movie, but there is no engagement on my part. There's no investment in any of these characters. And I just want it to end. I remember after the first half hour, I paused it and looked at the clock and said, oh my God, there's another hour left. And this movie fails on almost any point it tries
that
to.
That ending is real dumb, though. It's real dumb.
Yeah.
That last shot where it drifts into wherever the hell. Did they explain that at any point?
Of course not. Okay. Of course not.
I was hoping someone.
It drifts to the wonder.
And Andrew has now been kicked out of his own podcast. So,
unless he's trying to make a side-by-side comparison.
Oh, was that? I think he was trying to make a joke.
Oh.
Okay. Andrew, let me explain. Right, there's a setup. And then there's the punchline part. The important bit of the joke is the punchline part. You understand? Good. Douglas Anthony.
Yeah, but outside of that, which I think was it was really the killing stroke, because if my head hurts the whole way through the movie, I can't like it. It's just not possible, right? But outside of that, and I think we've both kind of said it already, throughout the movie, you're not really feeling a part of the story, or you're not, you know.
Who are you supposed to be attached to in this?
You're not attached to anybody, because Sir William might be a decent guy, right? But
you
don't really see him that often, and you don't know. There's not much development there.
You see him with his mother, who she don't like, and her mother don't like her, which, all right, fine.
Yeah.
And then you see him again when he tells her never to come back. And then you see him again begging her to come back. But you still don't know him as a character. Is nothing. You just see him turn up.
Yeah,
and
he's
do
just
these things,
he's just the concept of the man who got cuckolded. Like, you know,
Is he a good man? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Exactly.
And then he asks just mystifying questions. What? Why would you ask? Does it matter? Why would you? Like, at some point he asks, is it because we didn't have children? Would that have changed anything? Who are you asking that question? What does that have to do with your situation now? Like, all right, movie, fine. Someone wrote this movie. Someone directed this movie. I don't think they spoke to each other.
Yeah, somebody was upset. I think it was a writer.
Yeah.
But yeah, this movie, it just... And as I said before, in the last hour of it finally does, you know, it starts to make sense, but because the first half hour to 45 minutes was so nonsensical, you can't make sense out of the sense, which is just sad.
I like the thing, like the point where I realized that this movie wasn't special was when later in the movie the landlady was talking to her, and the landlady literally looks at Rachel and essentially looking at the audience and says, what Rachel is looking for isn't love. Let me show you what love is. And then walks over to this old man and gives this long speech about, you know, love being changing diapers. I'm like, listen to my movie. If you have to say, if you have to explicitly come out and tell me what the point of this movie is. And something,
but that's not the first or only time that the movie does that, yeah, Damien.
When you have to come out right at the very end, just before the movie ends, I'm like, look, I don't know if you idiots watching this understand what we're trying to say here. Let me show. like, why is guys that you shouldn't do that? That's like, it's cheating, but you're cheating with a movie. It's not good. It's not worthy of this. What is going on here? Why is this? Right, Douglas. You say you hate this movie. Andrew Robinson, what say you?
So I believe I talked about this movie last year, because I remember a lot of people putting this on their top 10 lists of the year gone by, and I was like, I should catch up with this movie. And when I saw it, I gave this movie two very distinct words to describe it. It's complete and utter Hiddleston porn, right? Where it felt to me at the time where everyone had kind of gotten all enraptured in the charming loveliness of Tom Hiddleston through his character as Loki and all of these things, and it just went so far, right? If you're someone who's on Tumblr, oh, Hiddleston is everywhere, right? The other day there was a Disney Expo, and apparently he comes out and he sings Bare Necessities. Why I know this is because I'm on Tumblr, people. I need to stop looking at Tumblr. And it's just crazy. So when you see a movie like this come out, I'm like, oh, so everyone who's fallen in love with Tom Hiddleston, myself included, we're all going to adore this movie. And then when I sit down to watch it, I have a very similar reaction to Douglas, where I'm like, I see where you're going with this, but I'm about to fall asleep now, so you go in your corner and I'll go in mine, and we'll never talk again. But I kind of want to go somewhere in the middle between the two of you guys now, because rewatching this movie, while I still... between a 1 and a 2. Is there a 1.5 in here? While I do still say to anyone who's asking, should I watch this movie? No, it's boring. At the same time, I kind of had a little bit more appreciation for it watching it this time, because Douglas, you talked about how this movie's kind of being anachronistic with how it moves through its timelines. I didn't feel like I did feel kind of jumbled watching it the first time, but this time around I could follow it a lot better. It felt I could understand that it was like how you were guessing that it was this her mental state as she was going through all of these things.
I hate to stop you, but I want to ask you this question, though. Well, you said that you felt the same way when you watched it the first time. I'm pretty sure I would feel the same way you do now if I watched it a second time, simply for the reason that I've watched the movie already and I understand now what they were trying to do and what the movie is all about. So I can now watch these scenes and
that's not our job,
you know, understand it. But should we give them marks for being understandable the second time around, Andrew, do you think?
Yes.
Then why do we all love Primal? Who got that movie on the first time?
I got it.
Yeah, but by the end of the movie, like, holy shit, this is awesome.
Exactly.
I'll watch this again, and then you get more.
Yeah.
It's not getting it at all. But at the end of Lupo, I didn't go, I don't understand. But when I watch this again, I'll understand. No. This movie's great. I'm ready to watch this again. And you see more. It's the same thing with Seven and a lot
and
of
Fight Club friends. And, you know, yeah.
Yeah, I guess, but that's not to say that when you get more, it doesn't mean that the more wasn't there in the first place. So, you see, it's this weird part where, like, I think there's even this movie, well, we've talked about this numerous times, this movie, Sucker Punch, where a lot of people have talked about all of these other parts of Sucker Punch, which I feel are there, but aren't so much elements that succeeded, but just kind of someone put them so deep that Zack Snyder couldn't fuck them up. And as long as you kind of touch on those points, you kind of start the conversation, as opposed to the film actually doing the discussion for you, which is what a lot of the great films do when it starts to bring up an argument for a topic, right? And with this movie, yes, there is lessing in it. There isn't that much good for me to kind of draw out, and I'm trying to be positive because I've already had you guys shit as much as you can on this movie. But I think I'll just end with, it's still really good Hiddleston porn.
Yeah, but Rachel Weisz spent most of the time on the screen, so you saw Tom Hiddleston what, maybe 20% of the time.
Alright, let me make it clear. If we had to do percentages, right, I'm more of a Hiddleston fan right now than I am a Rachel Weisz fan.
That's mean.
Why would you like Tom Hiddleston, by the way? What movie have you watched?
Loki is awesome!
Avengers.
No, it couldn't be.
It's Avengers.
Avengers or and Thor. Then,
and then Avengers.
No,
and Warhorse.
Well, I love Avengers.
He just Loki said Warhorse, is... which there's a reason I'm going to ignore that.
Loki today. Is bad.
No, Douglas.
I don't like Loki.
I think you're Loki. You're taking this too far.
He's such a wimp. I think you've taken a wimp,
Douglas. I think you've taken this too far,
Douglas. We're all looking forward to Thor 2. Not because of Thor, nice but because we're going to get Loki
Superman
again.
Returns, I think you've taken this too far. You cannot say, oh, I like Superman Returns, but Loki is too much of a wimp. Mm-mm.
What are you talking about? Superman
who,
was Superman.
Who was the
in
villain
Superman
in Superman
Returns?
Returns?
Lex Luthor.
Mm-hmm. And who played Lex Luthor?
Kevin Spacey.
Right. What
who
Kevin
was
Spacey,
awesome.
Wait, what Kevin Spacey played? What type of Kevin Spacey was it, Lex Luthor? Was it the gritty, evil Kevin Spacey that we see now in the Netflix show? No, it was not. It was wig-wearing, smiling, dumbass Kevin Spacey. It was horrible.
I should rewatch that movie.
Don't. No, we have good Superman. Just pretend none of that happened. Every time I think about rewatching
his tongue
Superman,
may have been in his cheek, but he was not a wimp. Okay,
I remember
sir.
Man of Steel and go, I'll never be able to watch anything else. No, I can't watch anything that isn't Man of Steel, though. It's ridiculous. Alright. Douglas, I can see why you don't like this movie, and I agree with a lot of your points. The problem is, Rachel Weisz is in it. And so, I can't bring myself to hate this movie. She was in it most of the movie, and I enjoy watching her on screen. So, while the movie may have been boring and nonsensical, I got to see her act, and there was a wide range. She showed that, indeed, when called upon, she can act. There's not many actresses that can do that. I'd have wished it was in a better movie, sure. But, at the end of the day, I can't bring myself to hating this and saying, no one should ever watch this. Because if someone asks me, I'll say, Rachel Weisz is good. So, why not? Why not watch it?
No, Damien. Sad. You'd go, sure. Well, Tom Hiddleston is in it, so why not?
Yeah, two people. No, it's like, everyone has seen Avengers. So sure. So, Loki is in it, and Rachel Weisz is in it. So, by all means, it was paid for with a lot of money, so why not? The British system works.
Ago when last we spoke, well actually it was last week for people who are listening, I asked, with the release of the Wolverine, with it being obvious that this is a franchise that's going to be keep on going and a character who's going to keep being talked about throughout the stories, they're eventually going to have to recast him, and why not just throw caution to the wind and ask, who the fuck would you cast as Wolverine? And then he responded in a way that I'm very proud the internet responded, a way that Damien and Douglas would appreciate very much. To get a couple of the more sincere responses out of the way, at the Taran, recommend Dougray Scott, who, if none of you guys know by name, he's the guy who was the bad guy in Mission Impossible 2.
Okay.
And Sean Hunter asked for Thor himself to put on some hair dye and just be Wolverine. Like, why not? But moving on into some of the more special answers, Michael K. Potter asked for Joe Pesci to come out of retirement and just go be Wolverine again. Because he's always been Wolverine, hasn't he? He's angry all the while. The non-reviewer asked for Idris Elba just because everyone says him whenever they're fan casting.
Why not?
Yep. Yep, I'm on board.
Right. Two things. First thing, don't touch me. That would work for Wolverine. That's a Wolverine line. Second thing, don't touch me.
That movie was awesome.
Andrew Johnson from Film Geek Radio asked for Meryl Streep to be Wolverine. Because why can't it be a woman?
All right. I think we've crowned her. So you can't stop
listen,
now.
Listen, it makes sense. Because Andrew, she is the Iron Lady.
Yes. She's also the Chameleon.
Oh my goodness.
Yep, we're both bad.
But
people.
I'm gonna give the winner to someone who just kinda took a shotgun to this question and gave me a list. He's like, look, awesome. We don't know who's gonna say yes. So let's go down the list, right? He start, and this is, I'm sorry I haven't mentioned it. This is at @baseman_PhD, who asked for Nicolas Cage, followed by Lena Dunham, followed by Werner Herzog, followed by Emmanuel Riva. And if no one knows who that name is, she's the lady who starred in Amour last year, followed by Michael Cera. And last but not least, he actually came in with a second tweet. Saying, wait, I forgot. Quvenzhané Wallace. Which, if none of you guys know, is the little girl from The Beasts of the Southern Wild.
Oh, yeah. That's good work. That is doing work. I see Meryl Streep.
The Iron Lady.
Yep. Meryl Streep wins for you, Damien.
Meryl Streep. That's pretty good. That is. Pretty good. Donald Glover couldn't be Spider-Man, so why not make him Wolverine? No?
Why not just make Loki? So I like the next Wolverine movies like so much more. It'll just be automatically 4.
Or we could do the right thing, guys, and stop making Wolverine movies. Can we do that instead? No, we can't.
Even though, Damien, you have to admit, we have gotten a second positive indicator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, our first positive indicator.
Oh, first. Okay, sorry. Yes.
I'm ignoring. Still ignoring, Andrew.
So, moving on to this week, I was kind of thinking, with the return of Breaking Bad, one of the most popular television shows that is currently running, and also with this year gone by with Netflix making their own shows like House of Cards, and they're bringing back of Arrested Development with their model of making all episodes available at once. Have you read that with Breaking Bad they've teamed up with Orange is the New Black, is that the name of the show? I haven't watched it yet.
Yep.
Don't. I've heard good things. I need to watch
no,
it.
No, you haven't.
It must happen after episode one, because trust me.
Oh, wow. I've even heard about a partnering between Netflix and AMC for Breaking Bad, at least in the UK, where they're making episodes available the day after. So
yeah,
they'll only get the episode
the
that aired, but it'll be one a week. Not happening in the States. And I'm kind of curious, with this whole idea that's been going on for the last few years, possibly with the starting of DVD, then to streaming, people have gotten into this habit of binge-watching. I mean, Damien, you yourself have said with Breaking Bad that you are waiting for the season to end, that you are going to marathon through the whole series again. I'm curious if people prefer that for shows of the ilk of Breaking Bad, or if it's just a widespread throughout your television watching habits that you just want to binge watch everything, that you'd want a 13-hour story and that's it. You don't want someone to say, and next week you'll come back to find out whether Batman made it off the ledge or not, kind of stories. And I'm curious. I mean, I think, Douglas, I think you know your preference already, if you had to choose.
Well, my preference is... My answer is going to be a little bit odd because it doesn't really lean one way or the other. But what it is I... What I like to do is watch what I want to watch when I want to watch it.
What?
Right?
So, you like options.
Exactly. Right? So it's not necessarily that I need to marathon through or that I need it to be meted out to me once per week. You know, there are some shows, Breaking Bad is one of them, where they like to end each show on a cliffhanger, on a note that makes you want more next week. But what that does for me and Damian and a lot of us people who are used to instant gratification is we don't want it next week. We want it now, right? So shows like that, I can watch it week to week because I need to see that episode.
You're not giving
right?
me much of a choice.
But if you were to give it to me all one shot, I'd do that in a heartbeat. Now, juxtapose that with a show like, say, Black Books or Big Bang Theory or, you know, comedies and sitcoms and things that don't necessarily pull you in like that. I mean, they can. I was drawn into Black Books when I first watched it because it was already aired and I was able to marathon through it. Perfect. But Black Books and actually Sun in Philadelphia right now are two shows that I watch one episode a day while I'm eating my breakfast, and I'm fine with that as well. And you know, you might argue that one a day is more frequent than one a week, but I'm fine with one a week as well with some of my shows. So to me, it has nothing to do with I need to marathon or I need it metered. It's just give me the option and I'll choose whatever it is. I'll choose which one I like.
So what's this option? I don't understand that word. I know what it means in video games. What are you talking about? Everybody knows my sense. I want all of it to know. I don't want to wait for your stupid goddamn schedule. Just give me what I want to watch. Let me watch it. And if I feel like rewatching it, I will. But don't tell me that I have to wait 8 to 16 weeks in order to watch 12 hours of programming. I refuse. I'm not going to do it.
So Damien, could we expand this idea to the point where you'd be like, look, I want all 6 seasons now. I don't want to wait 7 years for you to go and film all of this shit. I want it now.
Sure. Yes. If someone said, Damien, you know how you like Luther, right? I said, yes, I know. What if we were able to make another TV? Let's call this one Alice and Luther. What if we gave you all 3 seasons today? My answer at no point would be, you know what? You should meter that shit out over 3 years. My answer is, why are you even talking to me? Do you even work here? Can you just give me the tool and stop talking to me, please? The answer is always, I'd want it. No, Andrew, when I watch TV, if I like a show, I'll just watch all of that show until I either don't like that show anymore or it is finished. That is the only way that it works. Even if it is, oh, I watch an episode today and an episode tomorrow, I'm not going to stop watching it until I'm done. Or some other thing is there that I want to watch ahead of it. But then I'm coming right back. And before, you know, when TV was the only option, you didn't have a choice. No one was going to put on 16 hours of the TV show in a day because in all likeliness, no one is going to watch it like that. But we don't have that issue anymore. Everybody has Netflix, and everyone, when you look at the Netflix numbers, it's the same way everyone uses Netflix. You sit there and you watch whatever show. When you're watching TV shows, you just watch all of the show and then you move on. So of course that is how it should all work. I understand it can't work like that because TV is TV, and that is why I wait. There's people who can't wait. Douglas will scratch an itch as if it is going to kill him. But Douglas doesn't understand self-control.
No, no, child. I don't. Because I would very much appreciate a marathoning of this season of Breaking Bad.
But you're not going to do
but
it.
But I can't.
You can't. You cannot see that there's
I think Douglas
Breaking
even
Bad
said he was
watching.
Going to do that this year.
A lot of people have said it.
Yeah, yeah.
Said it.
I say a lot of
a lot
things,
of people
Andrew.
Say, Damien, you are right. My sisters have said it. A lot of other people that I talk to go, yeah, you know, I should just wait. And then every week you hear them talking about Game of Thrones. And you hear people talking about Dexter and True Blood or whatever it is. The only time people say, you know, this makes more sense is when they've missed a lot of episodes. And then they catch up all at once and they go, that is how I should watch this. Not this 19 weeks of lunacy. Just watch all of it. But I don't have... Like, it hurts that Breaking Bad starts now and I won't be watching any of it until... 8 weeks from now. Sure, everybody else is going to be all, you know, oh god, Breaking Bad is awesome and people write about it and whatnot, but at the end of the day, even if part of Breaking Bad is, even if someone says this is what happens at the end of Breaking Bad, sure, it would be disappointing, but I still haven't seen any of it, so I'll watch it and enjoy it. All like I knew about a lot of things that happened in Walking Dead before that final episode, of course people went, holy shit, this happened, because you don't know what to do with yourself. You find out something awesome and you're not thinking that other people don't see it. And sure, I found out certain things, but then watching it, I went, I cannot believe they've done any of this. And if the TV show is good enough, I'm going to be rewatching it anyway. It's not like there's a situation where I've seen this once and no, I'm never going to watch this again. And it clearly wasn't that good. I've seen Terriers at this point about 4 times. It's one season, and I wish to God Netflix would make
Netflix
more Terriers.
Needs to do that.
But
yes, they do.
It's never going to happen. But that doesn't diminish how good Terriers was. In fact, there's times when the second season of TV shows make them worse. Sometimes this was better. You know, I mean, True Blood, the more they make out that shit, the worse TV show becomes. I rewatched season one recently and I went, yeah, this TV show was great. And then I watched some random episode of the 5th season and went, this isn't even the same. This is mad. What is happening in season 5 is unrecognizable to what they had in season 1. So, you know, there's good and bad about it, but no one is going to say, you know what, give me week by week. I don't have time for watching it all. You just give me 1 a week because I'm that busy. I don't have time for any of this. Everyone wants it. As Douglas said, options is the word that you use. Everyone would
yes,
like
I
the
think
option
that's a word.
Of watching it all at once if you want. Or watching it week by week or day by day or fortnight or however it is you watch TV in a hole, on a train, whatever it is. Like, if Jamaica wasn't a criminal ridden place... When I had my Arcos, the Arcos was too big for anybody to steal, so I watch a lot of movies and TV shows on that. If I buy a real tablet now, I'm going to get jacked. But that is how I am on public transportation for like 2 hours a day, an hour going and an hour coming back. This is an hour that if Jamaica was a better place, I'd just be watching TV and an hour, and it wouldn't be like, oh, I'm going to watch this episode and then wait a week to watch this episode. I just burn through TV shows because I have that time and don't have anything else to do. And so it's just an option. That is all people want. Sports is the only thing I can think of where week by week makes sense because there's a lot of it and I need a week. Give me some. I can't watch football every day. As you need to relax.
Could you imagine if they were like, here are all 38 matches
right.
of Arsenal
right.
season.
We pre-recorded all of the football season. Here, pick a team. Here are all
with,
the matches.
With no fans, yeah. So that nobody knows right. the results. No,
right. Right. Pick a team and watch all the matches.
No, no, no. They had fans and then they shot them as they were walking out so they couldn't say anything.
Oh my God. I've been sitting in this stadium for what's an hour and a half times 38. 14 weeks. Please kill me.
Yes, I think your math is sane.
Anyways.
I'm good at math. As the story has been.
I will sing along, I suppose. I guess it's just how it goes. And now, those springs in the air, I don't
know. Is she a redhead?
What? I left in surgery.
If you can't wait, you can't wait. I'm choking.
Make some coffee.
Wait, sponge. I want you to heat it.
Feel the cold.
Tommy?
I'm calling Dr. Licker.
No, I'm afraid.
Jeez.
It's been happening for a while.
What?
I've been losing sensitivity to hot and cold.
Why didn't you tell me?
Because I feel different inside. I feel different. Every moment.
So this week, Damien asked us, tying in with his fascination with the not Tom Hiddleston character, actress in The Deep Blue Sea, he asked us to do our top five Rachel Weisz films. Damien, what is it about Rachel Weisz that has you so fascinated?
As a young child, I saw her in The Mummy and The Mummy Returns. And I decided there and then that I love her. And nothing has changed. So, yeah.
So I'm going to ask you to start it off.
You prefer Tom Hiddleston. Why not give us your top five Tom Hiddleston movies? That's off your dome. Come up with five movies he's been in. Avengers.
War Horse.
Avengers. War Horse. And Avengers. All right, five. That's terrific. Yep. Shining light in acting, that guy is. Right. Number five is, of course, The Mummy and The Mummy Returns. Guys, I love those movies. Guys, I love them. Like, there's people who want to convince me that they're not good movies, but I own both of them. And I've rewatched The Mummy Returns recently. And apart from the shitty CG rock at the end, I love everything about that movie. That movie is terrific. All the acting, all the jokes, all that shitty dance fighting. I love every second of that movie. And if you don't, you're a bad person.
I'm going to pull a very Douglas maneuver at this point.
Mm-hmm. Oh, here
and
we go.
Due to the limited nature of this list, I'm going to skew my rankings. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to just grab this movie up real early. And I'm going to take The Brothers Bloom. This movie is maybe the best movie she's ever been in, as far as I'm concerned.
Hey,
if it wasn't for one specific film.
Hey, let's not.
But
does this specific
I honestly
film
adore
have
The
trees
Brothers
flying
Bloom.
In space, Andrew?
I don't know what you're talking about yet, Douglas. We haven't gotten there yet.
No,
let's
that
calm
them
down. And the thing about it is that I actually popped this movie in like about 2 weeks ago to rewatch just randomly for no reason, and
the start of the
like
movie
Rachel
so
Weisz
good.
Just God. Kind of like if quirky characters annoy you in movies, there's no way Rachel Weisz she's the opposite of it while being completely quirky. Like, it is great. I love this movie. I love every moment of it. I still question as to how she got the police officer to let her go. I don't know, guys, and I need to know, but I shouldn't know. I love it. Douglas.
Okay, so I have a bit of an issue.
Mm-hmm.
While
you
I agree, mm-hmm. Rachel Weisz is very pretty.
Yes,
she is. She's a pretty girl.
She's the actress. Right?
I don't like that many Rachel Weisz films.
You know what's funny? You're actually lying to yourself. That's the funny part.
I went through her mm-hmm. filmography. Yes. So, my list is actually quite short. I don't have very many, if any, substitutions. So here's how this is going to work, mm-hmm. guys. No matter... there are going to be repeats.
Yes.
Right? Not on my list, but of you guys' list. And it's mm-hmm. it's just... Unless I find some fancy way to get around this. But
yeah, it's not your fault. So, you don't care.
So, in that, with having said that, I'm actually going to do this the right way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually going to make number 5 my least favorite movie and number 1 my most favorite movie, okay. which generally doesn't happen. As Andrew says, usually I just try to grab the best ones right. quick. Right? So, I think... At number 5, I'm going to have to talk about Definitely Maybe with Ryan Reynolds, which is, I think, a pretty decent movie.
I love that
I enjoyed
movie.
It. It's one of those chick flicks that kind of transcends chickery into dudery.
Ryan Reynolds,
you know,
movies like, that I can point to and go, that is good.
No, I like... No, well, we I like Ryan Reynolds. That's true.
There's not a lot that we can point to and go, good movie. Good movie.
Yeah. Did you guys go and watch R.I.P.D.?
No, I have not watched
I don't hate myself yet. Or life, so no.
Dude, you know you're going to watch it one day.
One day?
Oh, man, I'm so going to watch Rooster it as Cogburn soon as it that. Comes out.
I'm not watching it for Ryan Reynolds, I can tell you that. Yeah, Definitely Maybe it's terrific.
Yeah.
From start to finish, cool so good. So I guess it's my turn again. Guys, what would you say if I told you there is a movie with Ed Burns?
Yes, Morris I've Chestnut, seen this movie before. It's not that good.
Paul Giamatti.
It's not that good.
Donald Logan.
It's
Andy
not
Garcia.
That good, Andrew. I
as
mean,
well as Rachel Weisz. And it came out in the 90s at the pinnacle of dumbass movies. It is called Confidence. I love it. Now.
I have never seen or heard of this thing you now, talk of.
What I will say to people who did not grow up in the 90s and didn't see these movies in the 90s. Is do not watch this movie. Let me be clear. If you watch this movie and hate it, I don't want to hear it.
You see,
to me,
let me tell you about this movie.
Do not.
Let me tell you where this movie went wrong. Right? Let me tell you where this movie
Ed
went
Burns
wrong.
Ed Burns stars
it
the movie.
Went wrong with, that's where it went wrong with Ed Burns. No, I love Ed Burns. Ed Burns is awesome. Right?
No, he's not.
He
nope. I will fight you.
Hear what?
You like
Ed Burns. I like Ed Burns.
Fine.
Right? Okay.
I like Ed
no.
Burns.
No. If you get rid of Ed Burns, mm-hmm. who takes himself just a little bit too seriously all the time,
yeah.
and you put in, say, a Mark Wahlberg
all right.
or a Lou Diamond Phillips,
okay.
Then, you know, you start to get something.
You go, all right.
And that's where this movie went wrong.
Right. Ed Burns doesn't seem to understand the type of movie this was. And that is why I think I love it even more. Because he's real serious. Paul Giamatti understands perfectly the movie that he's making. Andy Garcia always understands the movies. There's no... Like, you see him in the movie and you go, this is perfect. Confidence. I don't even want to tell you what it's about. These guys run scams on people who are already criminals, and then one of the scams backfire, and lunacy happens. The movie was made in the 90s, and it is dumb, and I love it.
I didn't realize it was that old, though. Yeah. I watched it a little bit late.
Love it. Oh, God, mm-hmm. this movie's... All right. If you like Bad Boys and Bad Boys 2, feel free to watch Confidence. You are in the right frame of mind to enjoy Confidence. If you didn't like any of those movies, don't watch it and complain. The movie is not for you. Go find something else.
I really get worried when you use Bad Boys and Bad Boys 2 as a primer for something else.
Yeah, get ready. I use it as a primer for Big Hit, and you love Big Hit.
So my number 4... Douglas took Definitely Maybe. I'm going to go with the better chick flick Rachel Weisz was in. We can debate that as much as you like. And I'm going to go with About a Boy. Because, guys, while I generally loathe Hugh Grant and all of the characters, well, actually the one character he plays
you, sir.
Throughout all of his
Hugh films. Grant and Hugh Grant on screen are both amazing.
Douglas seems less than...
A Butterboy is pretty much the greatest film that Hugh Grant... Well, no, he was in Cloud Atlas last year. Was pretty much the greatest Hugh Grant movie that Hugh Grant was in. Because Hugh Grant really generally does one kind of movie. I really like this movie. And I find it very weird to put this on this list. Because Rachel Weisz is very much a tertiary character in this movie. Because she's just one of the women, right? It's like... Wait, no. That's definitely maybe. A Butterboy is pretty much more her.
Yeah, she's the love interest.
Yeah, she's the love interest in this movie. Definitely maybe.
Maybe
so
it's because
three women.
She's still a tertiary character because it's really the boy that's the lead. Boy and Hugh Grant. It's all about those two.
Let me see.
But regardless, A Butterboy is a really good movie.
Yeah, I'm going to say this is Douglas' turn.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So... At my number 4, which probably should have been at my number 5, but only because somebody took it in the 5 round and I didn't want it to repeat too badly, is The Mummy.
Damn right.
That movie is awesome. So is The Mummy 2. The Mummy 3, not so much.
It's not a movie.
I don't think I've actually watched all of that.
Rachel Weisz isn't in that movie, so
we don't need to talk
about it.
She gets points.
Treat it like
for,
Indy 4. Just pretend these things never happened.
I remember really, you know what's funny? When I first watched The Mummy, I hated it. I think I had something against Brendan Fraser.
That is a valid excuse, though. I cannot argue with you.
I really don't like Brendan
to
Fraser.
To this day, I hate Brendan Fraser.
Yeah, but when I watched The Mummy 2, I was a little bit older, maybe a little bit more able to appreciate, you know, just the
dumb action movies
that this is. And I think I liked it, but for the wrong reasons. Because what I really liked about it at the time was Snoop Dogg. And that is not a reason to like these movies.
Oh my God.
Hold on, wait, hold on 1 second. Mm-hmm. It's been a long time since I've watched the Mummy movies, right?
You asked the question I think you're about to ask.
Snoop Dogg?
I'm going to punch you in the face.
What the hell does Snoop Dogg have to do with The Mummy?
Oh, God. Can we just ignore him?
Yeah, let's ignore Good. Him. So, I have watched both movies since. And to give Brendan Fraser his credit, while I still don't really rate him as anything...
I hate Brendan Fraser with a passion.
If you put the right sort of ingredients together, the right sort of slapstick movie... He does that perfectly.
He did The Mummy 1 and 2 good.
Exactly. And he did them. He did that well in The Mummy. And Rachel Weisz, I don't have anything. I don't like her that much. But she was all right. But everything in this movie just kind of comes together to form these movies. Just a great blend of, you know, slapstick, comedy, action, and just, you know, light-heartedness. And so this has to be on the list. It's great. It's kind of like, you know, a movie kind of is like, but some people might get upset with me because I know there are a lot of people that don't like these movies, but the National Treasure films, I love them.
You're a bad person.
I love them. And it's
National Treasure.
No, that's a lie that you're telling yourself. You're going to hell for saying it.
So Damien, what is your number 3?
Right. So while looking up Rachel movies, there's a movie called Bent on there. And Rachel is listed as prostitute.
Yes, she is.
And that made me smile. I started watching the movie. She's not in that movie. She's not in that movie. I need to finish watching that. It seems interesting. My number 3 pick.
Oh wait, Bent wasn't your number 3 pick.
I haven't seen all that movie. It would be unfair. Plus, she's that prostitute, so I'm pretty sure she may be in it for half a second. My number 3 pick is Chain Reaction. No. It's the trailer for Chain Reaction.
Hey.
Number 3. Oh my God.
My I think 12-year-old self agrees with that 100%.
Yep. But nobody else.
My 30-year-old self.
Your 13-year-old self did agree with that. 1 year later. Nope. Just watching that trailer. It is so good. Oh, God, movies are bad in the 90s.
Keanu Reeves was in that movie, Damian.
Yes. Oh. Yes, Keanu Reeves was in
And that your movie. Favorite voiceover Freeman. Man.
Morgan Freeman is.
For a second, Morgan I thought Freeman. It was Ben Affleck. Was there a Ben Affleck movie?
Like that yes. Yes. It was like a time machine movie. What was it called? Uma Thurman was in it too, I think. Chain something.
Loss of time. Time stop. Travel. Time cop.
No, whatever. You're thinking of Paycheck, right? Yes. That's not what I'm talking about.
No, it's not? Oh. What are you talking about?
Fusion movie? Maybe it's Chain Reaction I'm thinking of, and I'm just replacing Keanu Reeves with Ben Affleck in my mind.
I know Val Kilmer was in that Saints.
Like a whatchamacallit movie, a Jack Ryan movie. Wasn't there a Jack Ryan movie?
Yes, he was in a
Jack
Ryan movie. It was a Jack Ryan movie. It was. And Morgan Freeman was in it
as
well.
What was the name
of
the movie?
The Day.
No. Emergence day, the world and like some nuclear thing blow up. And
I just remember Chain Reaction sounded very close to the name.
Yeah,
like
Clear and Present.
It was a nuclear kind of name.
Clear and Present. Sure, Douglas. Is this fun looking up things on
some of our fears?
Some of right. Never mind any of that. Number 3, Constantine. Hey guys, have you seen Constantine? Guess who else is in that movie? The same dude from Chain Reaction is in that movie. He's in that movie.
And he's
Constantine
fantastic.
It's so good. I know people hate that movie. That is okay. Constantine has so many people in there that I do not like. And I came out of that movie absolutely adoring that movie. So Constantine is my numero 3. And Rob.
So my number 3 goes to a little film which I have no clue how you guys feel on it because it's so tiny, so untalked about, I find. Which... I see IMDb listing Rachel Weisz in it, but I don't remember her being in it. It's the movie that stars Jack Black and Ben Stiller. It's Envy. Have you guys seen this movie?
She's Ben Stiller's wife, and why do you like this movie?
Andrew, that movie is where a man comes up with a device that disappears poo. Andrew Robinson, if you want to continue on this podcast, you're going to have to apologize for that pick. You cannot enter that as a choice. You have to take something that someone else has picked. I refuse to accept that.
You know what? You know, if we're going with just pure and unadulterated rubbish, my next pick is Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Yeah, and then Blueberry Nights is my next pick. Since we're just going to talk nonsense on this podcast.
I'm sorry, guys. I really liked
it. You can't like that movie. It is no one on earth. The people that made that movie hate themselves for making that movie. Right? Court cases were filed in order to prevent that movie from happening. Right? People had to plead out temporary insanity. What are you talking about, Andrew?
So, hold on. Andrew, please defend yourself.
I don't even want him to. How are you? Douglas, alright. Before Andrew defends the movie, I want you to come up with a world where anything that comes out of Andrew's mouth in defense makes sense. I want you to paint a picture of that world for me. There's a world that exists where someone comes up with a tangible defense for Envy. Please tell me where that world is. Like, draw me a map. Here's paper and a pencil.
So let me tell you, that world, in that world,
right.
Charlie the Unicorn is being led to Candy Mountain by his unicorn friends, who really aren't his friends.
But that happened.
All right, fine. I know where that is. Andrew Robinson, please.
I saw that happen.
Defend
so
enemy.
I'm okay. I can continue.
Charlie.
Let's start here. Mm-hmm. I really don't know how to defend this movie.
No shit.
because it's a silly piece of shit, which I really, really liked when I saw it. Right? It's stupid. As you say, Damien, it's a movie in which a man invents something that disappears poo, and magically he becomes a millionaire, and it causes envy, literally envy, between his friend. And it's really stupid and really weird, but I remember laughing and enjoying myself when I saw it, so I'm throwing it on the list, especially because you assholes took The Mummy and Constantine, so yeah.
Okay. Sure. Well,
There's literally only one movie which I refuse to not mention, and you guys know what it is already.
Yeah, of course. So my number three, because I really don't want to repeat via rounds, mm-hmm. got a little switched. But my number three right now, unfortunately, has to be The Brothers Bloom. Should be a little bit higher, but
probably.
Yeah. I didn't want to repeat. I literally have only five movies I can talk about. The Brothers Bloom is great. It's directed by Rian Johnson. It stars Mark Ruffalo, who I love, Adrian Brody, who I love, Rachel Weisz, who's pretty, and
Rinko Kikuchi,
who's in that one movie that I like. So
and Pacific Rim.
All right. Okay. Okay. So yes, that is an awesome movie, Damien.
Right. Number two is just pick any of the movies that you guys have talked about.
Except Envy, right?
I don't feel like repeating anybody's picks right now. There is a movie where a man flies a tree into space and there's a ring that rules everything. And Douglas hates this movie.
Yes, I do.
Because he's a horrible, horrible
with
human
a passion.
Being. And of all the people they hate the movie, Douglas would be like, because this movie is weird. It's weird as shit. Douglas like Mix Man and does not like this. Mix Max is terrible. But the phone is terrific. This man is supposed to be directing Noah at some point. It's never going to happen. when Aronofsky dreams up madness, you either jump on board or you're going to hate whatever he comes out with.
Yes, there's no in between.
Yeah. All right. He gets it right a couple times for most people. I don't think... Andrew, I think he's the only person that would defend all his movies.
Yeah.
Hi.
But I love this one.
Hi.
I think this one is still my favorite. All right, Andrew hates pie because he's a bad person.
No, Andrew loves pie. I hate pie.
Oh, you're the one that
yeah.
What I'm saying is I'll defend all of his movies. Everyone. Every single one.
Right. When I saw Black Swan, I thought it was better than it was.
Black Swan.
I don't think it's that good.
Never really liked it at first. I still don't, but I can appreciate it more. You know, it's a good movie.
Like I understand that is a like it is good director and good acting in at points, mm-hmm. but I don't like that movie at all. I think the story.
As long as we all agree that The Wrestler is a fantastic movie, I'll let everything slide.
Yeah, The Wrestler is great.
Because right, there's people who argue that The Wrestler is
exactly.
good. Who are those people? You've never met anybody that did that.
I still don't think he's...
I just want to make sure that we're baseline okay with each other.
Fair enough.
I love that movie. I mean, I can barely ever watch that movie.
I love that movie.
But I love that movie.
Ass to ass. The Fountain. So, yeah. The Phone is still my favorite one of all his movies. More than The Wrestle. More than A to A. Yeah. It's pretty good. It's pretty good, except for Douglas. And most people, let's be reasonable. Most people don't like this movie. Hugh Jackman flying a tree to fucking space. I remember when I saw the trailer, this is going to be horse shit. But it wasn't.
And it was.
It really was.
Andrew, what's your pick? What's your number two?
What is Wolverine doing in space? My number two film is a movie I actually watched this weekend past because, like Douglas, I'm like, I don't think I can find that many movies to kind of put on this list, you know? And I kind of ended up liking this movie a lot. It is from 1998. It's directed by Michael Winterbottom, starring Rachel Weisz, and it's called I Want You. And it is a movie which I will honestly understand that no one likes. If that's the case, I have no clue as to what the reception is. If you guys go out and watch it and come back to me and say,
I won't argue with you like I will with Envy, because I still don't think Envy is a real pick. But this movie is okay. It's all right. You remember how 90s movies about teenage girls were all terrible? Mm-hmm. They made one more. They made one more.
And the thing about it is that when I was watching this movie, what I really attached myself to was just the tone of the movie itself, as opposed to what the story they were trying to tell. Because there was this weird feeling, like this audio versus visual feeling that you kept switching between, because you had this one character who's a child who doesn't talk, right? But he just runs around recording all of these things, from his sister having sex next door to the Rachel Weisz putting a microphone like on her door and just listening through. And the way that the audio is mixed,
this sounds awesome. Like, this description sounds terrific, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. And then there's the visual side, which comes more into Rachel Weisz's story as this woman who's been harassed by a former boyfriend who's just gotten out of jail and all of these things which is going on. And it's just generally Michael Winterbottom weird. Like, we haven't gotten into Winterbottom collectively, but I can tell you guys the films that I've seen of his, he can get really weird. Like, Terrence Malick has nothing on this guy when he really wants to go down that road.
I have a lot of trouble believing that.
Oh, he did 24-hour Party People. I've seen that movie or pieces of it. It's.
He also did a Mighty Heart.
Anyways, I Want You, my number two, really good. Go watch it if you want. If you don't, it's up to you.
Okay. So guys, Constantine is awesome.
Yeah.
It stars none other than the Chosen One.
Yep. No, he's just the one.
He's just the one. I apologize. Mm-hmm. The one, Keanu Reeves.
He's playing that again in 47 Ronin.
Yeah, he is. It's, I mean, Constantine is just a great hero movie. It's like, and it's so not even really, it's kind of like an anti-hero movie. It's just, yeah. I mean, it's a great time. That's what this movie is. It's a great time. It's,
do you enjoy entertainment?
You know, you watch and,
when you think about it, guys, this movie had Tilda Swinton and Peter Stormare in it.
And don't forget Shia LaBeouf.
Yes, the beef.
But this one was just, I mean, it's, as you said, way better than it had any right to be. And I still, to this day, giggle whenever I think of Keanu Reeves going to heaven, flipping the devil the bird. And that's just fantastic. So Damien, what's your number one?
You guys have, of course, called a lot of movies, and there's two movies that aren't on my list, but that's only because you guys call them out. There's only one movie that I'll repeat, and it is clearly her best movie and the best movie she's ever been in. The Brothers Bloom is perfect. That movie is like, every time I start watching that movie, the intro for that movie is so good. It makes, like, the thing is, there's this Kylie Minogue video that came out like in the 90s.
La, la, la,
no, no, not that, la, not that la, terrible la, la. One.
Oh, is it the train song?
But
ride the train or no, something. No, man. Like that.
Oh God, Douglas, and Nonsense. Now I forget the name of the song. Coming to My World. That is the name of the video. And it's directed, I think, by Danny Boyle. It's directed by some big director. Now,
Do the Locomotion. That's what it's
you're
called.
You're a terrible person. when you watch that video, when you watch the Kylie Minogue video, you go, oh, this is what happens when people with real talent make something and make it well. Like, it seems unfair to compare Brothers Bloom to other movies because it is technically so well done that when you watch it and you go back and you watch other movies, you're like, do other people know how to make movies? Like, even with, I don't like saying this, and I wish Andrew didn't have to hear this. When you watch a Soderbergh movie, you go, oh, this is how movies are supposed to look and be directed. Oh, like this. This is what professionals do because they're professional and they have talent, all the talent in the world. They just make it look so easy. You just go, you look at other movies and you go, like, I love this movie, but I wish it looked more like that movie. And that is the feeling you get with Brothers Bloom. Like, if every movie could look and move and flow like this, all movies would be great. This guy's just clearly a cut above everybody. It just, it's like, it feels so effortless, and the acting is superb, the story is superb. Just a great time, just absolutely. It is crazy how good. Like, I remember when the movie came out and we all finally saw it, and just disbelief. Like, we were hoping for a good movie. None of us knew it was going to be this good. Just, like, there's nothing. There's other movies on this that I like that you guys have talked about, and but the only movie that at no point I was ever going to care when anybody said anything was this one. Brothers Bloom is the best thing she's ever been in. In fact, it's the best movie that any of those people in that movie have ever been in. It's all of collectively their best movie. Andrew Robinson, what is your number one?
Rinko Kikuchi was in Pacific Rim, guys. Let's keep that in mind.
Okay. Okay.
So, you guys already know what it is. My number one is the Darren Aronofsky film, The Fountain. Because, what says I love you more than flying a tree into space? Because, that's true love, guys. They talk about true love. You guys kind of talked, Damien, you talked about it. Douglas, I don't think you said anything, and you better not say anything any further about The Fountain.
Stop shitting on the microphone. You have to talk into that microphone. Stop. He's going to watch that, Douglas.
I really...
What do you like the phone?
I really love this movie, guys. and I'm not going to go any further because I've talked about this movie to no end on this podcast previously. Yeah. When I think about it, I think this is a movie that made me realize that I might like Hugh Jackman as an actor. Like, generally, not just... you know.
Andrew, what did you like him as before? I need some clarification. What exactly did you like
Hugh Jackman? A guy who held knives between his hand.
Fair enough. You had a man crush on Hugh Jackman.
That's funny. Okay. I love how both myself and Damien have the same reaction, but clearly for different reasons.
Douglas Robinson.
So guess
you
what?
You hate Rachel Weisz.
No, I wouldn't say I hate her. I don't hate her. I just don't. I don't view her in the same.
Right.
You know.
Yet you've come up with five movies.
I have come up with five movies.
And there's more than five movies that you like. No, on all our lists.
I don't think so.
Yep.
The
you know, you like confidence. You know.
And his number one is actually, The Fountain.
I actually even forgot that she was in that movie because I saw it once when I was in university.
This is ridiculous.
And I was just kind of like, okay, it's all right, but nothing special. Anyway, so going through my list, I realized this probably should not be number one, but it was a toss up between this and The Brothers Bloom, and while I love absolutely everything about the Brothers Bloom, bias just came over me.
Dirty, dirty bias.
And Hugh Grant is awesome.
No, he really is.
He is.
I don't like agreeing with Andrew. Like, I don't hate him like Andrew hates him. I don't mind Hugh Grant if I see my orders light my TV on fire.
Ah, so you now understand what I feel about For Rachel Weisz.
Like, when I see him in movies, he was in 2 weeks' notice. I like that.
Yes, that's a good one.
And I see him in a lot of other things. I go, okay, I
love,
like Hugh Grant.
I absolutely love.
You love Hugh Grant
Four
in
Weddings
a way
and
that,
a Funeral. Yeah,
you love Hugh Grant in a way that doesn't even make sense. He's not that good. He doesn't have that much range.
No. He doesn't need to have range. I like that character. Right. That's who
he
I
plays
love.
That
okay?
guy that every guy. Time.
And that guy can be in my movie every time, every day of the week.
And so you love About a Boy.
Yes, I love About a Boy. About a Boy is an awesome movie. As Andrew says, it is definitely the superior chick flick when compared with Definitely Maybe. It is. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it, Damien. I see your face contorting into such contortions.
Douglas,
but
I don't
no.
think I agree with you.
You cannot disagree.
I don't
you
think
cannot.
I agree.
You
with
cannot.
Me. I think I enjoy the opening joke in Definitely Maybe. The thing when he's playing the music, he's like, "Oh, when I got for my daughter, I always listen to these songs because you know it puts me in the right frame of mind, and it's just some song about bitches they can kiss," and then you change that. I think I like them equally.
Okay, at least you come down on the equal side.
I think I might. No, don't you dare.
All right, you like them equally.
All right.
That I can stalk. Okay. This table will get thrown. All right.
Take
you
a
go
step
the other
back,
way.
Son. Calm down.
But About a Boy is just, it's just great. It's sad, it's happy, it's got Hugh Grant, it's got all the things that it needs to have.
Like, you guys don't have sisters, so you don't really understand. I've seen these movies like a million times, and About a Boy was like the first one that I saw and I went, no, I like this one. Like, I didn't have to lie to my sister's face. I could go, no, this one is good, this one is legit, so I like this one. And so yeah.
How dare you lie to them?
I have to, or I'll have to find somewhere else to live. I don't have a choice. Hey, have you seen Cinderella, whatever story? I have, zillions of times. Drew Barrymore plays Cinderella. Of course, that has to be terrific, right? Yes, it does. I will say that on this podcast. I will lie to everyone who asks me. I love that show. It's terrific. Have you seen Clueless? I love Clueless though. Sure I do. I'm going to continue living with these people. I have to. And on.
I was actually She's telling myself that. I should rewatch Clueless because people tend to like that movie. Like, people genuinely like Clueless.
Deliver Me From Evil. I like that, of course. All of them.
So on that note, with all of these wonderful admissions from Damien, I think we should just end off the podcast there. So as usual, you can hear the podcast over at gmernergies.com. You can also subscribe through Stitcher or iTunes or all sorts of other podcasting applications like Pocket Casts, or I don't know what else is there out there. Dog Catcher. I don't know.
Nero.
Also, you can Nero. Also, you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at gmernerviews. You can follow Douglas at DJ or lost his name. 4 weeks to TIFF, guys.
And it looks like I'll be there.
Yay,
yep.
Canada agreed to let you
know. Canada agreed.
Oh, there we go.
We'll be right back. When you're laughing, you bring on the joy.
Bring on the joy.
Be happy.
Be happy.
You got a groove, my boy.
You got a groove, my boy.
When you're smiling.
When you're smiling.
Keep on smiling.
Keep on smiling.
And the world will smile with you. Cause I'm the sheik of Araby.
With no turban on.
Your love belongs to me.
With no turban on.
Oh, at night when you're asleep.
With no turban on.
Baby, into your den.